Good evening, everyone, from Gustavus City Hall. It's January 24, 6 p.m., and I'm calling to order the special meeting for tonight. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Furr?
Here.
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Here.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Here.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Here.
Councilmember Lewis?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Sharman?
Here.
Okay, all members are present and a quorum exists.
Well, thank you. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in this evening for the special meeting. Here in City Hall, we have, besides myself, Mayor Mike Taylor, we have Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop, who's running the slideshow for us, and our City Clerk, Karen Platt. Online, we have Council Members Muscoviac, Sharman, Van der Zanden, Furr, and Lewis. So we've got everybody accounted for. The first item is to remind ourselves what we're here for every meeting and every day as we do our work in the city, and that's to read our vision statement. And Councilmember Furr has agreed to do that for us today. Councilmember Furr, please.
Sure thing. So we envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you very much, Councilmember Furr. By the way, we could hear you, but you were a little bit faint, at least on our end here. So if you're speaking next time, let's maybe speak a little closer to the mic, might help. Okay, moving along, the next is a mayor's request for agenda changes. I have no request for any changes to the agenda. Do any council members have any agenda change request? If so, please raise your hand. Okay, looks like not. So our agenda is set as published. The next item is public comment on non-agenda items, as we do every meeting. This public comment period is for non-agenda items only and is not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If you wish to make a public comment on a non-agenda item at this time, please click the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and remute you when it is your time to speak. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please do not use profanity and be respectful in your comments. You will have one opportunity to comment here and again during public comment before the end of the meeting. Comments should be kept brief. Let's shoot for 2 minutes max if you have something. So do any members of the public wish to speak on a non-agenda item? So raise your hand. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody asking to comment, so we'll close the comment on non-agenda items and move forward to ordinance for public hearing. And this first, the only ordinance we have tonight for public hearing, this one is FY22-11 NCO, and it amends department budgets for fiscal year 22. And we've discussed this in our work session. This is one of our routine adjustments to our budget, given that we have more income than we expected. And we'll distribute some of that to some useful things like EMT2 class training, contractual services for our rapid testing program, because the state funding for that ends this month and the city is going to continue it 3 days a week. Some supplies for the ambulance. Got to keep Medic One up and perfectly supplied, and the chief's taking care of that. We have some city hall supplies to get. And the big item is road maintenance, where we're moving $55,000 more into road maintenance because we've exhausted our budget on a couple of things, mainly the repairs to our road system since the December 21 flood, and then also the excessive amount of snow plowing so far. So we've gone through our budget on that, and we need to keep road maintenance rolling along for the rest of the fiscal year. So we're asking for $55,000 to be appropriated for that. By the way, we still do have money coming in from FEMA, and we just got word today that they've approved the first tranche of that. We're not sure what the amount is, but several tens of thousands of dollars for the debris removal portion of that work. So we're looking forward to getting a check from FEMA to offset some of our road maintenance expenses to date. And there'll be more coming in from them after we after they finish going through our request for road repair items after the debris removal. So the big chunk is still to be decided for us. So with that, we described it. So the time is now 6:07, and I'd like to open the floor for public comment on this agenda item. Do any members of the public wish to speak on this item, this NCO? So raise your hands. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody come up. Pretty routine item here, of course. So we'll close public hearing at 6:08. And do any council member, we need a motion at this point to adopt this NCO. And I believe Vice Mayor Bishop has a motion for us.
Yeah, I move that we adopt FY22-11 NCO, amending departmental budgets for FY22 as introduced on January 17th, 2022.
Thank you. Do we have a second, please?
This is Jim Mack. I'll second it.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilmember Muscoviac. Been moved and seconded to approve FY22-11 NCO, amending department budgets for fiscal year 22 as introduced on January 17th, 2022. Do any council members have any comment on this item? Okay, looks like everybody's happy with this. There are no questions or comments, so we'll put it to a vote. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Councilmember Lewis.
Yes.
Okay. Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes with all members in favor.
Thank you very much. We'll put that money to good use. We now move on to new business. And I want to give an introduction on the first two items together for a sec. These next two items tighten up our city's management of its marine facilities. They are intended to assure availability of our marine facilities for everybody for the long term. The first item is a resolution that updates the marine facilities fee schedule. There are no fee changes in this. There's an expired provision for landing craft fees that we have removed since it's no longer relevant from the schedule. Resolution also provides for a commercial use permit for marine facilities. The second item that we'll do after that is the actual marine facilities commercial use permit, adopting it. It's an agreement that we're going to use to be signed by regular commercial users of our facilities, of our marine facilities, when they pay their commercial use fee. There are no new fees or use requirements. It's just essentially a contract or an agreement for terms of use. It requires commercial users to comply with federal, state, and city regulations as a condition of their continued use of the marine facilities. Specifically, there's we disallow any feeding of marine mammals or other wildlife, which has been an issue in the past. And as long as everyone complies with the rules and state and federal laws and so forth, nobody will be burdened by this item at all. Successful implementation of these two items means several things. One, people will be complying with the laws, which I think we all expect anyway. Sea lions should not be attracted to the floats in the future. It'll make them safer, and they won't be less, they'll be unlikely ever to take over our float system. Everyone will have continued access to use the facilities equitably and safely, and the facilities will continue to be maintained and operated sustainably for the long term. Councilmember Muscoviac, who helped me in preparing these two items, has motions for these, and after his motion, I will read the resolution. So, Councilmember Muscoviac, your motion, please.
That the City Council adopt Resolution CY22-04, a resolution to update and establish marine facilities user fees and agreements.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second on that motion?
I second. This is Council Member Lewis.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to approve Resolution CY22-04 to update and establish marine facility user fees and agreements. Okay, and I will read that resolution. Resolution CY22-04, resolution to update and establish marine facility user fees and agreements. Whereas the City of Gustavus Title VIII provides for the assessment of fees for the use of City of Gustavus marine facilities as a means of offsetting the costs and managing and maintaining marine facilities. And whereas the City of Gustavus Ordinance Title VIII, Section 8.03.010A states, quote, the owner or operator of each vessel using the Gustavus Harbor facilities shall register each vessel with the harbor master or the city clerk. The vessel registration form shall require all information deemed pertinent by the harbor master or city clerk, end quote. And whereas A schedule of fees has been in effect for several years and was most recently updated by Resolution CY20-08. And whereas the Gustavus City Council believes the fee schedule should be reviewed and updated as deemed appropriate, and whereas the city, Gustavus City Council has reviewed the schedule of fees and found it needs amendment to reference a marine facilities commercial use agreement. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the City of Gustavus adopts the attached schedule of use fees for the City of Gustavus marine facilities effective January 24, 2022. And the city administrator is authorized to require and issue a marine facilities use agreement setting contractual requirements for commercial use of marine Gustavus marine facilities. I guess we've got the facility agreement up there. You'll notice that these are the same fees that we've had in use for last year, and I think actually several years for the most part. The schedule is just slightly reorganized, but there are no changes in any of those fees. There is a we've changed the asterisk that relates to commercial motorized vessel to read vessels commercial motorized vessels. Would be vessels regularly operating commercially out of Gustavus marine facilities are required to register and pay the listed fee. Vessel owners must sign a facilities use agreement before use and comply with the agreement conditions for continued access to Gustavus facilities. Commercial vessels using the Gustavus marine facilities only occasionally for local retail sales, deliveries, or transfers are subject only to the day use fee. All use of Gustavus marine facilities is contingent upon compliance with applicable state and federal laws and with retail, or excuse me, with that retail is an error there, and with City of Gustavus Code of Ordinances Title 8 and posted rules. Violators may be subject to fines and or revocation of permission to use Gustavus facilities. So that's our resolution. And we have a motion and seconded. We read it. Do any members of the public have any comment on this item? And I see a hand up from David Olney. Mr. Olney, please.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor. And I don't have any you know, money in this game, so I think I can ask appropriately. So if we're looking at the terms that go with this, not the fees, I don't have any questions to the fee.
Excuse me, David, could you speak a little closer to the mic? Maybe it's our system here, but you're not coming in very loud, and I want to make sure I hear your comments.
Sure. I'm just looking at the changes, or maybe they've been there, number 6 and number 7 on the agreement with the commercial fish captains. So we can't discard it, the fish can't be discarded off of the float. Is that, I'm assuming it also means off of the boats also, that they can't clean and discard from their boats upon arrival. Is that, and I'm all for not feeding the sea lions. Don't get me wrong, because I think they're a nuisance by all means, and it's not healthy for us to be feeding animals in such a way that they learn a habit that is not natural. I'm just trying to think of how, like, Greg Taylor's going to come in with my guest. You know, I'm reading the Division of Environmental Health from Alaska, and they actually promote cutting up the fish in the riverside or at the port itself. So I'm confused. What's the direction that they're supposed to do? Are they supposed to clean it offshore then? And then bring in, let's just say, the halibut and salmon pre-cleaned and then arrive at the dock? Is that the intent?
Okay. We We don't normally go back and forth with questions and answers, but I'm going to vary our procedure here to make that clear, because there may be others that are wondering about this. The charter captains may clean their fish at the dock on their boats, but they have to control the fish carcasses and offal so that they don't get into the water there at the docks, or they're not available to sea lions. So they would not be putting them on the swim step, for example, where sea lions can pick them off. So they can keep them in a tub or some such on board, and then either discharge them out at mid-channel as the regulations require, or they can take them to a shore-based composting facility, and the city is actually working on providing some additional utility for that to make it easy. So they just have to keep it out of the water and make sure sea lions are not getting it. Does that answer your question, David?
Yes, it does. I'm sure Jen and Larry will love the fish for their composting, which they do a great job with. So I imagine they would keep the carcasses, disembark from the harbor, and then I would imagine discard them in the center of the channel rather than by the dock. I'm just trying, logistically, just trying to think through, if I was a fish captain, how do I stay in compliance?
Yeah. Right. Okay. That's a proper understanding, and essentially what most of them have been doing anyway, or it's been the rules for some time.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Do any council members have any questions for David Olney? Okay, seeing none, thank you, David. Are there any other members of the public with a comment on this agenda item? Okay, seeing none, our comment period will close then. And stay in the right order here. Okay, do any council members have any comment on this item? Council member Lewis.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can.
Great. I'm curious about commercial vessels. And I'm glad to see the provision there where if a boat is not doing regular commercial use, that they would be able to come and sell items like, say, fish from the dock with just a day use fee. Is that correct?
Yes, that would be my interpretation, and I believe that's our intent. We're happy to have people be able to make retail sales at our dock occasionally, whether they're our local commercial fishermen or even people from outside that may come by and wish to make sales at the dock. If they're only doing this occasionally, which is the usual pattern, then the day use fee would all be required. And it's the same day use fee as somebody with a private yacht would use for use of the facility. They're subject to a 2-hour time limit on the dock, though, so just like everybody else.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, Joe Vanderzander.
Yeah, I wondered why we still have the fee for the landing craft, that $100 per landing. I know Paul's been coming in on a pretty regular basis in the summer, and it seems like we're just taxing ourselves on that, and we need all the help we can get here for getting supplies and freight into town. I know originally it was thought that the landing crafts were tying up on the downstream side of the float there, but that isn't the case. So it's the bigger, the charter boats and other private boats that are tend to tear up the bottom there. The landing crafts always tie up on the upstream side. Anyway, I was just wondering if that $100 per trip is really necessary.
Well, I guess I can comment briefly on that. I think it's part of the landing craft is a major user of the facility, and the fees that we collect are intended to cover our overall operating and maintenance costs of the facility. So it seems like that a major commercial user like that should be sharing in those costs. I think that would be the rationale for it. Perhaps other council members will have an idea or comment on that. Any other council members have comments? Okay. Tanya, I see your hand is still up, but did you have something else?
Nope, sorry about that. Like me.
Same thing I do, I know, thanks. Okay, I guess we're ready for a vote on this item. Madam Clerk, would you call a roll, please?
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Vanderzanden?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Motion passes with all members in favor.
Thank you very much, all. The next is item three, a motion to approve the City of Gustavus facility use agreement for commercial users of marine facilities. Councilmember Moskowiak has another motion for us, please.
Sorry, a little bit slow here. I move that we approve the commercial use of the City of Gustavus marine facilities in the absence of signed agreement authorizing vessels except in emergency as, oh Jesus. I move we approve the marine facilities commercial use agreement. No.
Okay, it's been moved to approve the marine facilities commercial use agreement. Do we have a second, please?
This is Councilmember Furr. I second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded then to approve the City of Gustavus marine facility use agreement for commercial users. And I would note that our intent in this has been that the agreement as attached here is the model for what we would use. There, we are leaving to the city administrator the right to adjust wording if necessary for clarity. If we find in implementing it that there was something that was unclear, he could adjust the text on that. Okay, do any members of the public have any comment on this item? Okay, I'm not seeing anybody come up for a comment. We'll close the public opportunity. Do any council members have any comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Van der Zanden?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Makowiak?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you. We'll do our best to make this work so that nobody is burdened by these requirements, and we do a better job of managing our marine facilities safely so that everybody has equal access to them and no fear of sea lions, that sort of thing. And we'll be in compliance with the federal laws. So we'll move forward with a positive view on how we make this work for everybody. So thank you for your support on that. The next item is item 4. It's a quasi-judicial matter. And in this, this will be a motion to waive the city's right to file a protest for the alcohol license application for the Excursion Restaurant. That's out at the Bear Track Inn. So because this is a quasi-judicial hearing for this, we handle it just slightly differently. And so I need to ask if any council members have a conflict of interest on this or have had any ex parte discussions or evaluations to declare in advance of our action on this. Okay, seeing none. I see David Olney's been on as the applicant. Mr. Olney, do you have anything you'd like to say about this?
I'll be very brief to honor everybody's time, but thank you, Honorable Mayor and Council members, for reviewing this. The two-second story is this is for the Bear Track Inn. We've been in operation since 1997. That my father built this with my mother and my brother, Mike Olney. And I operate this now with my wife, Michelle Olney, who's been up there this winter with Jim Wagner working on the cabin all winter long until weather now has not allowed us to work on it anymore. So this is just for the Excursion Restaurant that we serve just beer and wine. We do not serve spirits out of this restaurant at all. And it's contained to just people having dinner at the restaurant and to our guests that are at the property itself. So again, I thank you for your time and look forward to a renewal of this and a very successful summer. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, David. Do any members of the public wish to speak on this liquor license waiver item? Okay, seeing none, let's see, we will call that public hearing started at 6:33 and will end it at 6:33 because I don't see anybody. Do any members of the council have any comments on this item?
Point of order.
Oh, did I miss something here?
Yeah, we need a motion first.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I believe we have a motion from Council Member Sharman at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the City of Gustavus waive the right to file a protest of the Excursion Restaurant LLC liquor license renewal application.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second it. This is Jim Mack.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded that the City of Gustavus waives the right to file a protest to the Excursion Restaurant LLC liquor license renewal application. And now, do any council members have any comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember van der Zanden?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Furr?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Sharman?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Thank you. And that will conclude our hearing on that item. And David, we wish you the best for the coming season. The fifth item on our agenda is from our city administrator, Tom Williams. He's going to give us an overview on capital improvement plan procedure, a bit of a training thing here for us all. City Administrator Williams, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and good evening. I'm going to share my screen. So Karen, I am disabled.
I think she's got you set up now for that.
Yeah. Head in there.
Looks good.
All right. First, I'd like to thank some folks who have helped provide some of this information. Prior Mayor Barb Miranda and our former treasurer, Phoebe Vanslow. As the mayor stated, the purpose of this is to provide an overview of our capital improvement plan process. We're going to be submitting projects for the council's review, prioritization, and passage of our this year's version updates for our capital improvement plan. This is the fifth CIP that was started back on May 14th, 2018. And as the name suggests, it's a plan. No funds are obligated for any projects identified in the CIP. In-house funding for capital projects will be determined by the council. There's a separate policy and procedure that projects get nominated and then development is done through the short and the more extensive scoping documents. These project development documents must be approved by the council before any projects are funded. The funding comes from our AMLIP accounts, such as our AMLIP Capital Improvement Current, AMLIP Capital Improvement Long-Term, AMLIP Repair and Replacement. Our current year capital improvement priorities get determined with consideration for urgency of need of the project and the phases of multi-year projects, availability of project managers, consolidation between departments for projects, similar focus, and those kind of items. The repair and replacement started in fiscal year 18. It was a citywide inventory of assets. The repair and replacement savings amounts were calculated based on a couple of formulas I'll mention in a moment. This process was recommended by the state of Alaska, DCCED, that's the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. It's part of the Division of Community and Regional Affairs, and also by the Rural Utilities Business Advisor, the RUBA program. For the replacement of items with expectancy more than a year, but not more than 10 years, the city should set aside 100% of the replacement value in order to purchase the item when needed. To calculate the amount to set aside each year, you divide the replacement cost by its life expectancy. For replacement of items with a life expectancy more than 10 years, the council sets aside 10% of the replacement value of each item. To determine how much to set aside each year, you multiply the estimated replacement cost by 10%. Then divide that by the life expectancy of the asset. These are typically larger assets that the city would be seeking outside funding for. The R&R savings account could then be used as a down payment for a loan or a match for a grant, for example. Beginning in fiscal year 19, the annual operating budget includes an expense line item for each department, the R&R account. The amount for each department is calculated using the formulas above for the assets within that department. Capital budgeting are for generally large projects, infrastructure development and improvement. Capital budgeting is an important public policy and management decision-making tool, and it can affect a municipality's long-term debt in general fund balances. Capital projects commit resources into the future and affect a community's long-term spending capacity. These decisions can be felt for 30 to 40 years. Surprisingly, budgets for capital improvement projects are not included in our ordinances, nor are they outlined in policy and procedures. Capital projects have been undertaken, of course, without having a plan. For instance, City Hall has been remodeled and expanded. We've built two public bathrooms and a new fire truck had been purchased. There's strong evidence that capital budgeting and strategic planning are strongly correlated. Strategic planning is founded on a vision and continues long after the initial groundwork is set. In December of 2019, an infrastructure survey was distributed to Gustavus citizens, primarily online, for about a two-week period. The purpose of the survey was to rank the relative priority of potential infrastructure improvements for the council to consider based on both importance and urgency. Important tasks were defined as contributing to our long-term mission, values, and goals. Urgent tasks would demand immediate attention. There were about 180 respondents that ranked the items low, medium, or high, and urgency within 3 to 6 months, within a year, within 2 or more years, placing the highest priority on obtaining adequate and reliable ferry service and the lowest on parks and recreation facilities. Below is the ranking of the 13 infrastructure areas. The CIP category projects into three categories: current year, midterm, and long term. Projects can move between categories based on changing circumstances, such as need, change in funding requirements, availability of materials, or availability of funding from another source, such as a grant. Current year projects will be submitted in February at the work session. The list will reflect high priority departmental requests and the list can be adjusted with additional projects if the council would like to add others than what are listed. The mid-range projects reflect priorities in a five-year window. And the long-range projects reflect projects that have been identified need, but they lack urgency or needs improved planning development. If you're looking for examples of our mid and long-range projects, they can be found in our current CIP. Our timeline for developing the plan would be to first bring draft CIP at the February work session. The idea there would be to go over the listed projects, their priority classification, add, delete, move around. It's a work session that gives the council an opportunity to determine what the current mid and long-term projects will look like. As you may know, our CIP is a five-year living document. Every year it gets updated, and we typically use it for applying to grants, submitting the CAPSIS to the state, identifying these projects are a priority for our community. It's one of the documents that we can use to help supplement an application. Then the public hearing would be scheduled as a resolution at the February general meeting. The hope is that once we complete the public process, we will be able to update the plan and have it available for any of the city's grant applications, or if a business is looking to apply for a grant and is looking for documentation to demonstrate need, then they would also be able to refer to our capital improvement plan. So that's a quick overview of our capital improvement plan process. Are there any questions?
Council members, any questions for Tom on this process he's outlined?
Well, terrific. If you have any thoughts or suggestions, please get a hold of me and let me know. And I look forward to presenting our draft to you at the February work session. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. I'd add that there's a lot going on in infrastructure improvement funding opportunities with the federal bills, and the state is supportive of this. There's also money from the, available from the legislature potentially. So we've got a lot of possibilities here, and we've got a number of needs that we need to be looking for opportunities to fund. And things that come to mind for me are perhaps a wave energy barrier of some kind to protect the floats at the dock. We may need to have a second culvert up at Rink Creek Road at the gravel pits, another large culvert to handle the overflows that we've had there, because the original one, the one that's in there now, was under design for the big overflows from the river. So that's a possibility. We have bike trails we're interested in. There also are FEMA funding opportunities that Tom and I are working on. Some of those are for fairly small projects, like say ditching same old road and installing culverts there, and same on Fairweather, things like that. Some of those we will probably end up funding with our own funds, but we're looking for opportunities for grants for as many projects as we can. So if any council members are, become aware of an opportunity, then we'd love to hear that, and we'll see if we can work it into the plan. Once again, any other comments on this from council members? Oh, it looks like we have a hand up from Tanya. Councilmember Lewis.
Yeah. Thank you. I think last year it was helpful to have that survey that Tom referenced. And if someone could send that out to the council, it's really nice to hear, to have, you know, have some guidance on priorities from people in Gustavus. I found that helpful last year. So is that available for us?
Certainly, we can do that. That's a great idea.
Thank you.
We'll do it. Madam Clerk, I guess you heard that. You'd like to have the survey sent out. Thanks. Okay. Any other comments on this CIP planning process? Okay, well, thank you, Tom, for that. That gets us through the major items of the agenda. The next would be city council reports. I'm going to fit in a quick item here. I think you were all aware that we were pretty concerned about this last atmospheric river event and what it was going to do, particularly with regard to an overflow from the river and a flood into the gravel pits. And I want to thank Glacier Bay Construction for being prepared. They staged their excavator out at the big culvert there in case we had too much water hitting that culvert. And we had a supply of 6-inch minus rock there ready to drop in a hole if we had another sinkhole develop like happened last August in what was a smaller overflow event. This year, as it turns out, we had the river peaked at something like 16.65 feet, which was pretty high, almost as high as December 2021. And as we monitored it, we were somewhat surprised not to see any flood coming down the overflow channel and into the pits for Saturday and Sunday. Today, Jeff Jarvis texted me and he had noticed a flow finally coming into the pits through that overflow channel. Turns out it was relatively small. When I looked at it, it was 3 or 4 feet across. And of course, there was no stress on the culvert systems. They were flowing right through and on down the east side airport ditch that Jeff had worked so hard to clean last year. So that system worked great, the containment system for that flow level. And our theory is that the heavy snow in the overflow channel that begins way up in the park and is fairly long, probably the heavy snow blocked and restricted the flow down that channel. So we didn't get as much of it, and we'll probably have a low level of flow going for a few days before it tapers off and stops. But the snow actually helped us prevent a flood, believe it or not. So we lucked it, kind of dodged the bullet on that one. But we do have more work to do on that system, including improving our finishing our ditch work on Wilson Road and some culverts along there. And then we're going to be looking at an opportunity to fund a large project, put another large culvert under Rink Creek Road out of the gravel pits so that it would route overflow probably from the south central pond where the tadpoles are for that area under Rink Creek Road and then into the east side airport ditch directly. So that'll give us two channels into that ditch, and it should give us more confidence that we won't get a flood going down Wilson Road ever again or onto Rink Creek Road. So we still have work to do on those things. Do any council members have any questions or comments at this time? Councilmember Sharman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Comments on non-agenda items, correct?
This is city council questions and comments. So yes, it can be on non-agenda items. or essentially any city business that you'd like to comment or question about?
Yes, earlier today, the clerk forwarded to us council members a letter from the member of the a member of the public who sent a proposal in on Friday, I believe, about an option for reducing conflict over masking at the library. And I believe our two library employees received that on Friday. But in any case, my comment is simply that I hope that the city manager and the library employees will discuss that proposal and report back to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Sharman. Yeah, that sort of thing is be part of our evaluation program that we set forth in our resolution at the meeting a week ago. So any other council members have a question or comment? Okay, looks like we're through our agenda. Before we adjourn, I want to thank Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop for running the slides for us tonight and our clerk Karen Platt for facilitating this meeting and keeping us on track when we forget to ask for a motion. With that, we'll adjourn at 6:56. Thank
you. Point of order.
Oh, I've got a point of order. I must have missed something.
We have one more public comment. On
oh, yes. That's why we have a clerk watching over me here. We have another opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. Yeah, I'm skipping a little too quickly here. Do any members of the public have something else they'd like to comment about? Okay, I'm not seeing any more. Well, once again, thank you for your attention, for tuning in tonight. And I guess we are now finally ready to adjourn at 6:57 p.m. Thank you and good evening.
Thank you all.